Pray this morning for Sister Becky. She's at home sick. She called me, and she is just not able to be here today. So we're going to do a lot of special music this morning. I want you to listen to the choir as we sing When I Think About the Lord. Pray for Sister Mandy. I'm working her really hard today, but it just works out that way sometimes. But you pray for her. Pray for the choir as we sing When I Think About the Lord. Thank you.
How he saved me, how he raised me, how he filled me with the Holy Ghost, how he healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord, how he picked me up and turned me around, how he placed my feet on solid ground.
Makes me wanna shout, hallelujah. happy day.
Bow his head and die.
watch them take his bleeding body, see them lay him in the tomb, watch them wrap him in the grave clothes, they anoint him with perfume. Now they'll wait, they'll watch and worry, though they knew he had to die. While they waited for his promise, Christ was very much alive.
Man, it's great singing this morning. It's great to be in the house of the Lord. And, you know, good to be in a place where God's moving. You get up and you get to hear this good singing, then I get up here and I'm all charged up. Got a couple of announcements I want to make before I read some scripture this morning. We mentioned earlier about the youth camp for our youth. And I was asked to make sure everybody understands this. We want every youth to be able to go to this camp. And if there's any concern whatsoever about the expense, we have sponsorships available. And as far as I know, we have enough to cover. If you are here this morning and you weren't going to be able to go because of that, we'll cover it. It won't be talked about. Nobody will know about it. What we want is our young people to be able to grow and go and be a part of this. So we want every youth to be able to go. All I'll ask you to do is you can just see me after church and we'll get it taken care of, because we want your youth to be able to go with us. Also want to mention one more thing, because I might forget this. Right after church, right over here, if you have children that are out in children's church, and we have children's church out here in a trailer, and we have a growing number of young people out here. If you have children that are involved with children's church, we'd like to meet with you right over here for just a minute after church. Obviously, we're trying to get some structure, trying to get a role developed, and we'd like to speak to you for just a minute right over here right after church. Amen. Now, all that's out of the way. If you got your Bible, we're going to read in Hebrews chapter number 6, and we're going to begin reading in verse number 13. Now, I'm going to tell you the title this morning that God has given me is Hope That Anchors the Soul. And this is something that's been on my heart for several days. And, you know, like I sometimes do, I say, well, Lord, what in the world are you going to do with that? And then all of a sudden, God begins to reveal things to me, and I begin to study, and it begins to be more than I think I know what to do with. And this is no different this morning, but we're just going to try to follow the Lord and bring as much to you as we can. If you'll stand with us for the reading of God's Word, and then we'll pray and we'll try to deliver the message that God has laid on our heart this morning. But in Hebrews chapter number 6, begin reading in the 13th verse down through the 19th verse, and you'll see our text verse in the 19th verse. It says, "For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he sware by himself, saying, Surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for the confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil." Now, I want to look at that 19th verse one more time. It says, "Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul." Now, we do have hope this morning. Now, let's pray. Lord, we're so thankful to be in your house. Lord, we're thankful for your mercy and your love. We're thankful for your Spirit. And God, I know that in myself I can do nothing. And Lord, I pour my heart out before you this morning, God, asking you that you just speak to my heart and my mind. Lord, that my words would be the words that you'd be pleased with. That I'd say only those things, God, that would honor you, that you'd be pleased with, Lord, and we'd refrain from anything that wouldn't be, Lord, obedient to your will. Bless our hearts and our minds. Bring to remembrance those things, Lord, that we need to. And God, we pray that your word would not go out void, but that you'd send it, that it would lodge in somebody's heart this morning. Lord, most importantly, if there's somebody here that's lost and don't know you, we'd love for them to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. If there's somebody here, Lord, that maybe is in despair, that might be, Lord, at a place of hopelessness or their hope has been troubled or gone, Lord, we pray that you'd speak to them. Help them to know that they can be restored and secure in you. Lord, for all you do and all that you are going to do, we give you the honor, the glory, and the praise. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now this morning, we want to look at this. We want to talk about hope that anchors the soul. And I want us to look at the 18th and 19th verse for just a minute. In the 18th verse, it speaks of those who had fled for refuge. Now folks, as Christians, our refuge is Jesus Christ. You know, there are many people that are in trouble. There are many people that are looking, they're looking for help. But, you know, there is help available. We're living in a world today that needs God. They've turned away from God in many places, but God's still there. God hasn't went anywhere. He's the same place that most people have left him. You know, he is our refuge. And then it says to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. Now, we have hope as Christians. Now, sometimes I look around at the world that we're living in, I see things going on, and I wonder what people do that don't know God. Because they really, without God, what hope do you have? But we have hope. If you look at this 19th verse, speaking of us, if you believed and it's available to you, it says, which hope we have as an anchor to the soul. Now, if you'll think about what an anchor does, is it locks you in a sure place. It'll put you in a position that, even though there's something pushing against you, there are things that are trying to get you to move, that anchor holds. It's like that song, the anchor holds. Though the ship is battered, the anchor holds. Though the sails are torn, thank God the anchor holds. Amen? Now, our anchor is sure. It's sure because we're trusting in the only God, the one true God. It's steadfast because he does not change. We read the scripture. It talked about the immutability of his counsel. I want to tell you something, folks. God does not change. God has not changed. And God is not going to change. Okay? So it's steadfast. And it's within the veil. And I don't have time because when God began to give me this message, it was more than I knew what to do with. But what is within the veil? Here's what I want you to understand as Christians. We can come into the very presence of God. We don't have to go through a priest. We don't have to go through Mary. But Jesus Christ is seated on the right hand of the Father making intercession for you and I. And I can come and I can bring it before him any time that I want to. Pray without ceasing. You got to know him. But I know him, and thank God. You know, if you go back and you study, one thing I'll say, and we're going to move on. When Jesus was on the cross, and he died for mine and your sins, and he cried, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. You know, and then he cried, it is finished, from the cross. And there were seven cries. But you know, when Jesus gave up the ghost and he died on the cross, the scripture says that the veil of the temple was rent from the top to the bottom. Why? Because there was a way made that you and I can go direct to God. You got to have a relationship with him. Okay? He's my Lord. He's my Savior. And I have hope in him. You know, I want us to look at and think about what hope is for just a minute. What is hope? Sometimes I've heard people say they have no hope. There are stories in God's Word, and we'll look at one in just a minute, where a lady said she had no hope. But hope in its verb form, this is what it means. It means to cherish or desire with expectation of fulfillment. To long for with expectation of obtainment. To expect with desire. And to trust. Now, God has given us hope. Because here's something that I want you to understand. When you believe in God, you're believing in one that cannot fail. You're believing in one that cannot change. You're believing in one that has no equal. You're believing in one that every word he says is a promise. And the only reason when he swear by himself is because there is no greater. He wanted you to understand that God means business. And he's serious about what he says to you. Hope in its noun form means to trust. It means reliance. It means desire accompanied by expectation of belief in fulfillment. Now, you know, we have a confidence hope as Christians that we're hoping for something that's to come. And here's the point. That hope gives us peace, and that hope allows us to move on and to go forward. You know, it allows me that when I face difficulty, if I look back and I realize that I hope I have in God, it allows me to face those difficulties in a different way from someone who did not have that same hope. You know, when I begin to look at what hope was, I also looked up hopeless. And here's what hopeless is. It's having no expectation of good or success. It says, not susceptible to remedy or cure. And then it said, despairing. It said desperate. And then there was the word impossible. And I began to look at that, and I didn't like that definition, and I began to struggle with it a little bit because, you know, the scripture tells us that there's nothing that's impossible with God. But the reason that it's impossible is when a person doesn't know God and they don't have a relationship with God, the truth is they don't have any hope. They are hopeless and they are despairing. And you know, in this life that you and I are living in today, you're hearing it more and more and more to where people are getting to the point that they feel like that it's hopeless. They feel like their situation is hopeless. They feel like their troubles in their home or their life or their finances are hopeless. They look at the situation with their children or their loved ones and they say that it's hopeless. And even when we look into God's Word, even someone who is a Christian and walks with God, you have struggles, but the difference is you have hope because you have God. See, Job said in the 14th chapter in the 1st and 2nd verse, and this is speaking of life. He said, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Says he cometh forth like a flower and is cut down, and he fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. And here we see Job as he begins to speak after he had went through a time in his life that he had lost all of his children, where he had lost all of his possessions. But one thing that Job had is Job had a relationship with God. And Job knew who God was. And when he sat down and began to scrape himself with a broken pot, he sat there and he would not curse God and die because he knew who God was. Because I believe, as I looked at this scripture, because Job had hope that anchored his soul. You see, sometimes you hear it taught or preached that we are a body that has a soul and a spirit. But I want you to look at it another way. We are a soul and a spirit that for a short period of time, we have a body. This body is decaying. This body is moving away. Our hope is anchored in Jesus, and our hope is in eternity. Now, I want you to think about something for just a minute. With all of life's struggles, where does our hope lie? And I want you to think about this. Number one, we have a hope that anchors the soul in this life. You see, sometimes people, they struggle, especially when you don't know God. How do I make it through the day? How do I make it through this situation? How do I make it through all the struggles of life itself? And so many people are wanting to give up on that struggle. They're saying, I can't make it. They're saying, I can't do it. They're saying it's too difficult. They're saying it's too hard for me to make it day after day after day. But as a Christian, here's why we have hope that anchors the soul in this life. Number one, it's because we have a purpose. You see, I'm here for a purpose on this earth. See, I believe what the Bible says, that I was created by God, number one. I wasn't just something that was happened by chance in the cosmos and all this evolution garbage that's taught. But I was created by God. And not only was I created by God, I was created for the purpose of God. God has a purpose for my life. And sometimes when I'm struggling and I don't understand the situations that I'm in, I have to realize and remember that God knows more than I know, that God sees what I cannot see. And like I've said many times before, God is always at work in your life. Even when you cannot see it, God is working. And when I realize that and I begin to think about it, the reason I have hope that anchors my soul in this life is I'm not here in vain. God has a purpose for me, and I want you to understand something this morning. Even if you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, God has a purpose for you. And He wants to fulfill that in your life and give you hope that you may be missing. My purpose is to fulfill God's plan for my life. See, so many times we go through life and we struggle. We're trying to do our own thing. What we ought to be looking for is, what does God want out of my life? See, the next thing that I want you to think about as you go through life, the reason you can have hope is because the labor that you do is not in vain. Do you know, ever think about this, that when you're going to work and you're doing something every day and you wonder sometimes, what's the use? I heard the story of a man who had went through life and he had accomplished so much that he got to the point in work that he didn't even need to work anymore. And he began to travel, and he said, I went to this place, and I went to that place, and I went to that place. He said, I got to the point that I'd gone to every place that I could go. And he said, I got tired. And this is what the note he left behind said. He said, I got tired of going through every day trying to find something to fill up the day. And he wrote a note, and he took his own life. But you know, when I look at this word, I want you to understand something as a Christian, why we can have hope. Because if we live our life for the Lord and we live it to honor God and not ourselves, what 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58 says. It says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I love this verse of scripture. Why is it not in vain? Because God sees it. Because God honors it when you do it for Him. And because what you do today does matter for eternity. You say, I'm not one of those people. What would it matter if you live through this life and when you die, you're just gone? It's just over. Every memory that you had, everything that you ever did, it's just part of something that goes nowhere and is meaningless. That's hopelessness. But see, I want to tell you the hope that I have. I don't believe it's in vain. I believe what you do today matters for eternity. I believe that the relationship you have today, when you get to heaven, you're going to recognize them. You're going to get to rejoice with them. You're going to get to have a reunion with them because it's not in vain. It matters. The world's not that way. They go through life and they struggle and they fight. And they can't get to the point there's ever any peace because they're not doing what they do for God. We read these verses Wednesday night. I want to read this again. This is in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23. It says, in verse 24, it says, "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. For ye serve the Lord Christ." Then in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17 it says, "And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." You see, sometimes you can go through life and you'll be at a mundane job and it's just something you dread. But when you realize all that you do it heartily unto the Lord, you'll be able to go into a job, pick up a broom and begin to sweep the floor. And you'll start whistling a song that you heard on Sunday morning. And you'll start smiling because the peace of God fills your heart. Because you realize that what you do, the little things matter. When you do them and you do them unto the Lord. Not only is your labor not in vain, but you can, if you have hope in Christ, you can live with peace and contentment. You say there's a lot of people living through this life today and they do not have either one. Let me tell you something. I believe with all my heart the most important thing in your life is peace with God. If you don't believe that, you just get everything else that you want and not have peace. And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. You know, you can get that bigger house. You can get that bigger truck. Like my son wants the jacked up one. He's picked it out. He's told me about it. You can get that job. You can get that promotion. You can get that recognition. But when you lay down at night and there's no peace and you lay your head on the pillow and you don't have peace with God and you can't sleep and your heart's not right and you come into the house of the Lord and God's Spirit's moving from breast to breast and everybody else is enjoying what's going on in God's house but you can't enjoy it, you realize what's most important. In Luke chapter 12 verse 15, and this is Jesus, he said unto them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." Folks, there's nothing wrong with having all those things. I like things. You know, sometimes I went through this, Brother Tommy. I learned to play golf, and I for a period of time, every time a new driver come out, I had to have it. I had to. Does it help your game? It never helped mine. I had the Great Big Bertha. You remember the Great Big Bertha, the one with the head about that big? I got that, and it went over here, and it went over here. It never went here. Then I went and got the TaylorMade, you know, when it came out, the big titanium one. I got the woods to match it, and I ended up, I had three sets of golf clubs, and I never could break 90. And then I'd go into the hunting stores and I'd see all these guns lined up. And this is what I logically said. I said, "God, if you don't mean for me to have them, why is there so many of them?" But you know, you can, and there's nothing wrong with having those things. There's nothing wrong with a boat in the garage. There's nothing wrong with a jacked up truck. But if you don't have peace with God, what have you got? I can remember my dad, and I talk about him, but I like to talk about him. When he was sick and I would go see him, I would stop at McDonald's and get a cup of coffee. And I knew how he liked his coffee. My dad was like, he's the one taught me, Brother Tommy, to drink coffee. And I would stop and get a cup of coffee, and I'd get it like he wanted it, and I'd go by and we'd sit on the porch in two rocking chairs and we'd talk. And occasionally, this is what we would do. And he would smile. He'd talk about the Lord. My dad would say, "Let's go look at trucks." And we'd get in a truck and we'd ride down the road and we'd go to the car lot because, you know, my dad always, he always traded. He never keep one very long. But when my dad passed away, he had a 72 Ford, blue and white. And, you know, I thought about him the other day and I thought, I'd love to be able to have him here again and have the ability to take him down here to the Chevrolet dealership and just let him pick out whatever he wanted. Because he taught me how to live this life, folks, with contentment. When you live for God, God will give you contentment and peace in your heart. And if I've ever seen a man that had it, he had it. And he taught it to me, and I wanted that same thing. You know why? Because I seen him have less but have more because he had God. You see, a person that's saved by the grace of God and they live their life, and the Bible says godliness with contentment is great gain. They've understood and realized that real satisfaction comes through a right relationship with God, not through the things that are in this world. That's why you can look at people. You ever looked at somebody and said, I wish I had something that'd make me smile like that. I wish I had something that'd give me that kind of peace. Maybe the only thing they've got is something you can get right here this morning. It's peace with God. It's hope that you can have that'll help you live this life. See, not only do we have hope that helps us in life, and I want you to understand this, we have hope that anchors the soul in adversity. You know, that Job that I read just a minute ago in the 14th chapter, I want to read you two verses out of the third chapter. Verse 24, 25 and 26. And this is what Job said. He said, for the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me. And that which I was afraid of is come upon unto me. I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet. Yet trouble came. In other words, if you look at the story, he was doing the right things. He went every day and he prayed for his children, lest peradventure they had sinned and done something against God. He prayed on their behalf. And he said, that which I feared most has come upon me. You know, sometimes as a body, we realize this when we get the call and one of our brothers and sisters in Christ are in trouble. One of them's had an accident, or one of them's got a bad report from the doctor, or one of them's got a child that's in trouble. You know, we come together. But I want to tell you something. When we come together, it's just like what I said just a few minutes ago. When someone sent word, tell the church, thank you for praying for me. Thank you for lifting me up. Because the Bible, as it teaches us to bear one another's burdens, we have hope in a time of trouble because we serve a God that cares about us no matter what we're in. See, in our darkest hour, he's with us. We have hope. In our darkest hour, we're not alone. Matthew 28, verse 20, the second part of the verse, Jesus said, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. You know, I've said this before, and I'll say it again. As a Christian, you are never alone. Whether you're in solitary confinement, whether you're somewhere that you feel like you're the only one there is, I want to tell you something. You're never, ever alone. When you're in school, and this is a lot of what I experienced when I was in high school, and you're not like the rest of them because what they do, you don't want to be a part of. And sometimes when you're a Christian and you're trying to serve God, you'll get rejected by the world. But I've never been alone because everywhere I go, he's with me. And he's there and he speaks to my heart and he lets me know that I'm not supposed to be like the world. I'm supposed to honor him. We have hope that anchors the soul in adversity because we walk by faith and not by sight. Do you know that if you went by what you could just see and understand, you'd always have trouble? But that's not the way we walk as Christians. You know, this same Job in the 13th chapter, in the 15th verse, in the first part of the verse, he understood who God was. He didn't know and he couldn't give an answer for everything that he was going through, but he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. You know, when you get in the right relationship with God, it just doesn't matter where it's at. You just know to get a hold and not turn loose. And that's the way Job was. You know, sometimes that's what we need to learn to understand, is when it gets heavy, we fall on our knees and cry out to the God, the only one that can give us the hope that we need. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, we walk by faith and not by sight. Not by what we can see, not by what we can understand. Over in Romans chapter 8, verse 24, I want to give you a verse. It says, for we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen and understood is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. In other words, when I'm walking through adversity and I'm walking through trouble, this is not the end. See, when I read God's word and I realize there are promises in here that are given unto me. There are words in here that will help me. Why? Because God does not change. Because God cannot lie. Because God has no equal. And because there is nothing or no one that can snatch us out of His hand. Now remember that. No matter what adversity, no matter what difficulty, no matter what problem, there is nothing that can separate you from the love of God. Trouble and turmoil and the devil can do everything they can to wreak havoc. But he cannot take you away from God. You see, it doesn't matter what the devil does. I cannot go to hell. I'm going to heaven. He can do everything he can to stop me, but I have been born again. And I know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. See, we have hope that anchors the soul in this life. We have hope that anchors the soul in the eternity, in adversity. And we have hope that anchors our soul in eternity. In eternity. Remember, we're not a body that has a soul, but we are a soul that has a body. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I want to give you a verse from Paul's writing in the 17th verse. And this is what he tells us to reassure us. He says, and if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ, that's those that are gone on, they've perished if Christ didn't rise. And then he says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Now you think about this for just a minute. There are people that don't understand this, don't believe it. How do they deal with it? I believe they just block it out. Most of the time it's like, I don't want to hear that. Don't talk to me about that. But Paul had hope in eternity. You see, Job, that dealt with all these troubles, he also had hope in eternity. If you go back to that 14th chapter and you go down just a couple of verses from where we read to the 7th verse, this is what he wrote. He said, there is hope of a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stock thereof die in the ground, yet through the sin of water it will bud and bring forth boughs like a plant. Now, if you've ever cut down an oak tree, you know what that's like. You know, you can cut down those Bradford pears and you think you got rid of them. But it's not the next spring. You look out there and it grows fast. It's coming up. Now he was comparing man here to a tree. But here's what he wants you to understand. If you look at this scripture, he's talking about he's got hope. He said in another place, he said that, you know, after my skin, worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see the Lord. And what he's talking about is after this life is over, there's going to come a time when the Lord's going to say, come on, children. And I want to tell you, the body is going to be reunited with the spirit, and we're going to forever be with the Lord. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse number 13, Paul wrote this. I want to read this to you. This is our hope in eternity. He said, but I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not. And then he throws this in here, even as others which have no hope. Because there are those that don't. Don't be like them. He says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then the 18th verse, he says, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. In other words, we have hope. We have hope in life. We have hope even when we're in adversity. And folks, we have hope in eternity because we have our assurance that because he rose, we will rise. We have our acceptance that Jesus took our place. Remember what he said in 2 Corinthians 5:21, the scripture right says, for he is God hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us, so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So that when God looks at me, I don't have to go to the priest. I go straight to God, and he sees me through the veil of Jesus Christ. It's hard for me to understand. But all of my sin was placed on Jesus on the cross. And because of all that sin and all that darkness, that's why God had to turn his back on his son. And because God was willing for a short period of time to turn his back on his son, no matter what I do, no matter what trouble I'm in, here's the hope that I have. I can come boldly to the throne of grace and obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And our appointment. Do you know the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment? A couple of weeks ago, I said 10 out of 10, everybody is going to die. I've heard some people say, well, two things that are sure is death and taxes. Well, you know, a lot of people get out of taxes. You're not going to get out of death. We think we are, but we're not. But we have hope in eternity. I have hope that I have peace, that God has a place for me. And the last thing I want to share with you, you know, while we have hope in life and we have hope in adversity and we have hope in eternity, there are those that are hopeless. Have you thought about the hopelessness of the wandering lost soul? They go through life, and the definition again of hopeless is having no expectation of good or success, not susceptible to remedy or cure, despairing, desperate, impossible. Well, you may not think you're hopeless today. See, I can remember when I was a young man, I remember one time I was in the driveway, I was 15 years old. And I was in the back of a pickup truck. My dad was standing there and my uncle was standing there. And I just grabbed hold of the side of the truck. And I flipped myself up in the air and, you know, landed on my feet and bounced like a kangaroo. And we had a single-story house. I used to get on top of it and jump off. And I remember when I did that, my uncle was standing there and he went, ooh. And I said, what is it? He said, there's going to come a day when you can't do that. You know, back in that time, I thought I was invincible. I thought, you know how it is. And y'all young men, y'all the same way. Nobody can whoop me. You learn the hard way most of the time. But there's a lot of people that think, well, he's not talking about me. But it's going to happen to you. See, I look in the life that I've lived, the truth is I've lived most of it. And I look back and it's gone by so quickly. Maybe it's time to think about it. Maybe it's time to think about where your hope lies. Can't lie in your youth because you won't always have it. Can't lie in your ability because the truth is you may not always have that either. You know, sometimes I think about, as I'm sitting at work and I'm trying to do my job, and I'm dealing with all that stress and all those things that come against me every day, you know what's dawned on me? I never know how many more days I'm going to be able to do it. There'll be something happening in this body, some little thing where chemicals don't work right or blood doesn't work right, and I'm just not able to do it anymore. It's like the person that says, well, I'll come to the Lord when I get ready. You come to the Lord when He calls, or you won't get a chance. I heard a preacher preaching, and he was talking about the door being open and the door being closed. You know, sometimes the door closes because things happen in your body and your mind where you can't receive what God was wanting to give you at one time. See, a person that's hopeless, their only hope is in this world. In Isaiah chapter 31 and verse 1, this verse keeps coming back to my mind. It says, woe to them that go down to Egypt for help, and stay on horses and trust in chariots because they're many, and horsemen because they're very strong. But they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. You see, if you study the Bible, you realize that Egypt is a type of the world. Anywhere in Scripture. And what the Scripture is saying is, woe unto them who put their trust and their hope in the world. It's going to give out. Can I remind you that every great leader that has ever existed is just a memory? Everyone. You study the Old Testament and you look at Daniel's giant, the vision that he had, and you realize that all of those great kingdoms are gone. And sometimes now, even when I'm looking at what's going on in our country and our world, and I get concerned about it, and God reminds me, this is going to pass. I'll take care of them too. See, I can remember a few years ago when a certain leader was elected, and I just got miserable. He's just a memory today. But Jesus Christ is still at the right hand of God the Father, making intercession for you and I. And there's still an appointment that He's going to come back and get His church. Amen. See, people who are hopeless have no hope because their hope is in this world. And they have no hope in a time of trouble. I can remember growing up, obviously, my dad was a pastor all my life. And I can remember when I was little, Brother Tommy, I was a little kid. Not exactly how old. But there was a funeral that my dad had to preach up here at Paulding County. I think it was up here at the big funeral home with the green roof. This was been years ago. And I can remember going in there, and there was a little 5-year-old girl that had drowned at Altoona. You remember how it used to be at Altoona? There was a lot of that, where people fall in what they call sump holes or something like that. Well, this little girl was standing there with her mama and her dad, and they turned around, and she was gone. And there was trouble in the home. Mama and dad were separated, and they weren't together, which made it even worse. But when they had that funeral, and we went up there, and that little 5-year-old girl was in that casket, that daddy came in, and it tore him up so much, he grabbed her, and he tried to get that little girl out of that casket. And my dad and several of the deacons, they had to get a hold of him, and the undertakers, they had to work to get that man to turn loose of that little girl's body. And you know why he was like that? Because he had no hope. Amen. Now, folks, when we're in trouble, and we don't want to face that, we never know when we will. But one thing I've seen in the life of Christians, because my dad went through it too. You see, because I had a little 3-year-old sister that died with cancer. But because my dad had a relationship with God, he didn't quit on God. He didn't blame God. He said, there's things we don't understand, but our hope comes from the Lord. You see, what hopelessness does is it turns you from pleasant to bitter. If you go over to the book of Ruth, and I don't have time this morning, I'm about done. But in the book of Ruth, the first chapter in the 12th verse, if you know the story, because there was a famine in the land, Naomi and her husband, they went down to Moab. They went down there to get food, and while they were there, they had two sons, Kilian and Malon. And their names mean sickly and pining away. That's what their names mean. And while they were there, those two young men died. But while they were there, they married Moabite women, Orpah and Ruth. And when they died, here's Naomi. Her husband had died and her two sons had died. And she looks at her two daughters-in-law and she said, "You return unto your own families." This is what she said. She said, "If I had hope." She's basically saying, "I don't have any hope. I don't have hope of giving you any more sons that you could marry. And if I could, would you wait for them?" She said, "I have no hope. You go home." Now, you know the story. Orpah, she left and went back to her people. But the Bible says Ruth clave to her and said, "Your people will be my people and your God will be my God." But when Naomi comes back into her people and they look at her and her face is disfigured and it's from crying and it's from brokenness. In the 20th verse, this is what she says. She says, "Don't call me Naomi, but call me Mara." Now, the word Naomi, the name means pleasant. And Mara means bitter. You see, hopelessness will turn you from pleasant to bitter. And that's where the world's at today. That's why there's so much trouble today. That's why you have people that are killing youth and taking their tennis shoes. Because there's hopelessness in this world. See, hopelessness turns you from pleasant to bitter. And the last is the most important. Is a person that's hopeless, they have no hope in eternity. It's just like I said to that man, and I can still remember that as just a kid, how much different it is when your foundation is built on the Lord. See, our hope is in Jesus. Ask Brother Keith if we could get whatever song we're going to sing ready. I like the altar. This is where we come and find hope. This is where we come and we get healing and help in a time of trouble. See, the God I serve, He's able. The Bible says in one place He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And I like this verse in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 26. It says, "But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Now, if you're here this morning and you've got trouble in your life and you're struggling, whatever the situation may be, I want you to know that God can help you. I want you to know the God that I serve wants to help you. He wants to give you something that'll put a foundation in your home that when people look at you, they know that you've been with God. Because you're not going to get the help and the hope that you need anywhere else. Would everybody, if you would, stand to your feet, and I want to plead with you. I want to plead with you. The most important thing is right now what you do, what happens between you and God. If you'll come pray, I promise you, people will pray with you. If you'll just come to the Lord, I believe He can give you hope. Go ahead.
Still, and the waves continue tossing me from the storm. I call His name for relief from things distressing me now so quietly. Though He does so much for me, His sweetest gift will always be peace in the midst of the storm. I cry to him for mercy. His great love takes the form of peace in the midst of the storm. What tomorrows hold, they hold joy and sadness coming day by day. But I will not be afraid, for I know some storms come my way. Let my I will not be lost at sea. There will never come a time that with prayer I cannot find peace in the midst of the storm.
We're going to sing one verse. If you could just play Amazing Grace, we'll sing one verse of Amazing Grace. We're going to open the doors of the church. If you're here this morning, you've been saved by the grace of God. You feel like God's leading you here? We'd love to have you be a part of this fellowship. Be a part of what God's doing. Now, folks, God's not dead. He's not changed. He's still alive. He's still in the saving business. And it's a lie of the devil that you can't live for God and be happy and content. You can. I'll tell you, there ain't nobody out there got nothing I want. I want what God has. And I want that peace that I talked about more than I want anything else in this world. If you're hearing God's feeling like leading you to be a part of this fellowship, we welcome you right now. We're opening the doors of the church.